Good evening, brother and sister. It is my privilege to be here to share the Word of God with all of you. Thank you for a sister just now, such a wonderful prayer. Before I want to start, I would like to encourage you by saying that such a wonderful group. You start your Sabbath day early on Saturday evening, yeah? That's how people in Israel, the Jewish people, start their Sabbath day. Yeah, so wonderful. Thanks for your commitment, yeah? But tomorrow morning, I'll share with them the same thing, like, you know, how wonderful you come in so early in the morning for the Sabbath day. And I hope today the elders and did ask you all to prepare your dinner. Did you all prepare your food here? It's going to take a while. My sermon is rather long. No, just joke. You're like, okay. Today I like to share with you the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Let's come and read the verses. Okay. Can we all read together? The word of Nehemiah, son of the Hakkaiah, in the month of Kislev, in the 12th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They say to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in the great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I had this, I sat down and wept. For some day I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandment, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night, for your servant, the people of Israel. I confess the sin we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commandment, decree, and law you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nation. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from this and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servant and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this servant and to the prayer of your servant who delight in reveling your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer of the king. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your word that has given to us and speak to us. Father, I ask today through your servant, your word will be proclaimed and your Holy Spirit will touch each and every one of our life here, so that we might know your will, we will know your will in our life, and we will come closer to you and intimately know you and your will and what you have prepared for our life. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's start. I titled this sermon, Living a Consecrated Life. And I share with my wife and I said, what do you think about this name? And my wife told me, said, don't try to sound smart and intellectual. Just be yourself. So I was like, yeah, thanks for encouragement, my helper. So, but I found that I need some explanation for this, the word consecrated, because I tried to seek for other word, a simpler word, but I found that we need this word. So, consecrate, right? Hebrew and Greek and mainly meant holy and sanctified. But in the Hebrew Bible and in the Greek word, they use the same word, but in English, they use holy, sanctify, hallow yourself. So it's important that, but in Greek and in Hebrew, they use that same word, okay? So what it mean? It refers to a person or things being separated to or belonging to God. They are set apart for the service of God. Okay? Consecrated life. Yeah? Here in 1 Peter, he said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are the people of God. Amen? How many of us are the God chosen people? Yeah. And how many of us here can say you are the God special possession? Can you say amen? Here you go. How many of us here call yourself God people? Can you say amen? What? Is that all you can do? Come on. One more time. There you go. Now we have church. It's really we need to take pride of it. We are God people. We are God's special possession. We are royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God chosen people. A God that who created everything and the whole universe have chosen you. And you are his royal priesthood. Do we have amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. Not very convincing, huh? Let's look at here. But the thing is, we are consecrated. But it's not by ourselves. This is what Jesus said. For them I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Again, just now we look at the interpretation. Consecrated, sanctified. It's the same word, yeah? So Jesus has sanctified himself so that we may be consecrated. It's not done by our own strength, but by the blood of Christ, but what he done on the cross. So we are the consecrated people and the chosen people. Amen? Now, okay. What it mean, the consecrated people? Here say the Bible, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good work which God prepared in advance for us to do. For us to do. So a lot of time in today, a lot of people come to church where they are thinking about, I am consecrated people, I am God people, I am God children. But do you know what it means? Does that mean you have all the blessing of God and not enough? I need more. I have a lot of problem. I have a lot of worried. I have a lot of issue. I have. Listen here. That's what say in the Word of God. We are special. We are really very special. And God bless us. Yes, He did. But then, for what? We are created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. To do good work is not like all the Buddhists believe, we go out there and we be kind to other people and be nice to others, to do good work that He prepared for us. Each one of us, you are special because God's one has prepared you to do the work that only you can do. He put you in the place that only for you to perform what He has intended for you to do before the world. He has prepared that. Consecrated people are the special people. We are special. We are set apart for the service of God's work. It's not just me and my problem and I. Today, a lot of worship songs we sing, it's all about me and I. Today, a lot of the churches who drove really, really fast, there's a lot of me and I that preaching given. And everybody really happy about it. But what the Bible say? Without the promises of God, in the Word of God, whatever you got encouraged, whatever you got motivated, whatever you're happy about by preaching of the preacher, you cannot receive it. It's an empty lie. It only can come true, it backed up by the Word of God. And this is what God say. Amen? Not very convincing. Okay, let's check here. Okay? That's why I would like to list it here. Living a consecrated life by following the example of Nehemiah here. Have a genuine concern, heartfelt compassion, complete dependence, and selfless dedication. So, when I expound the word here in chapter 1, where is all this thing coming from? I will bring you through it. So you see the promises of God, the leading of God, the principle of God in here, which is good for us to follow. This is how we should live. Or if we are the children of God, how should we live our life? Yeah? So from here, hopefully, we can find out more of it. And I promise you, just now, the sound smart thing, the intellectual thing, that's all it is, okay? So we go through the Word of God right now. Let's take a look. Okay, Nehemiah, a little bit background here, okay? Babylon exile, 597 to 582. Temple rebuilt, 516 before B.C. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem, 458 B.C. Nehemiah rebuilt wall, 445 B.C. So basically, that's what tell you is from exile to Nehemiah is about 150 years away, 130 to 150 years away. Basically, Nehemiah never stayed in Jerusalem. Okay, he grew up in Babylon. That's a bit background. So genuine concern. Why? Where does that come from, genuine concern? Okay, let's look at the word. Hananiah, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other man. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. You see here. I questioned the Jewish remnant about Jerusalem. The word question here is the original word has the word of earnestly inquire. Earnestly inquire. He is the one who go forth and ask, not that they tell him. Now, why he asked? You may ask. What is he concerned about? Is that about the wall come down? Is that about Jewish people? He passionate about the Jewish people? Or is that about, you just want to gossip? What is that all about? Okay? So do we know what is his thought in it? When we read through Nehemiah, one of the things, is one of the hardest book actually to preach. Why? Because if we look at it as like a moral tale, Okay, we read through it. Okay, this is what it say. Okay, end of it. It's like, okay, what is the moral of this story? But this book is more than that. There's a lot of, it's a divine book as well. It's a human book as well. There's a lot of pointing toward Jesus. There's a lot of pointing toward the future as well. And as this book, as you look at Nehemiah, and then you see, what is his thought behind it when he do some action? From this sermon, we'll be able to see that, okay? I try my best. Please pray for me as I preach. So, what is his thought when he's questioning all these things? Let's see here. Two things from his prayer that we can learn. They are your servant and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servant who delight in revering your name. From here you can see that, why he asked the question, why? What is his concern? God's people, because he sees those people, those Jewish people, he doesn't concern them just like we are the same nation, but his concern for them is they are the God people. They are your people, O Lord. They are your people. And I am your servant. What type of servant? He's so desiring. He's so passionate in what? Reveling your name. That's why this is his concern for the people of Jerusalem. So if you read it carefully, you see what is heartfelt from Nehemiah. Okay? So that applies to us. We look at ourselves today. Do we have this type of concern with the people around us? Do we look at our brothers and sisters? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. They are your brothers. They are your sister. And look at your neighbor and say, you are my brothers. You are my sister. Yes? Do we see that? This is our church. This is your family. This is not just a place you come. If I don't like it, I just change to a different church, a different place. This is the family. And this is a place where we can honor God. Do we have that in us? Again, I want to ask, how many of us call yourself a children of God? So do you have that genuine concern for God's people? Do you have that genuine concern for God's kingdom? Do you have that genuine concern for God's name? Brother and sister, this is what we can learn from Nehemiah. He asks. So today we need to have this concern for our brother and sister. There's this once when I was a very young Christian, and I read through the Bible, and I asked my cell group leader, when Jesus said, "You, the two great commandments, what is the two greatest commandment of all? Love God and love others, right?" Now, I asked, how do I know that if I love others or not? And he told me, do you take interest on others' people? Do you take interest on your brothers and sisters in church? Do you take interest on the people around you? Do you want to know more of them, or do you want them to know more of you? Which one? Ask yourself that question. Brothers and sisters, start taking interest on the people next to you in this church. This is your family. If you can't even take interest in your family, what else you can do out there? A lot of time you're talking about we need to go out, we need to share the gospel, we need to bring the God love to others. If you can even take interest with your brother and sister in the church, What hope do we have to be the light and the salt of outside of this building? Take interest. How are you doing? How to do it? I have a very simple way to do it. Every time I come to church, I meet my brother and sister, I say, how are you doing? With a big smile. Very easy, you know? A lot of time, they're like, I'm okay, good, thank you. You know, there's one fine day, after you say this a lot, like 100 times, there's like, oh, today, not very good, you know? My son, I fight with my wife, my problem, my sickness, my... Trust me, it'll happen. Because he knows you really care for him. Because you've been asking him hundreds of times. Every time you say, how are you doing? Genuinely, how are you doing? And then when he starts to speak to you, listen. Be there to listen. Be there for him or her. When you start to build this relationship, and we said, start pray together. Whatever we can help, we try to help. Whatever we cannot help, we submit to the Lord. But at least you are there to encourage one another. Can we start doing that, brother and sister? Is that difficult? How are you? Is that difficult? Oh, yeah, I need some of your response. Yeah, so I know if you are still paying attention or you start dozing off. Yes. Okay. Yes, it's not hard at all. Start with, how are you? Okay? Start with that. Let's see. Okay. Second, heartfelt compassion. They say to me, those who survived the exile and back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard this thing, I sat down and wept for days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So here, let us see. The great troubles and disgrace, wall of Jerusalem is broken down, the gate have been burned with fire. What it is that make Nehemiah weep and fast for days? Actually, for days, there is actually not just a few days, right? Later I'll explain that. It's 4 months' time. 4 months. But what make him so sad? When we read the scripture, we must know what is, how he felt, what it is. Is that because of the wall is broken down? Is that because he really empathized with the Jewish people? Maybe. Is that because the gate was burned with fire? What it is? So we need to find out more so that we really know what the scripture trying to speak to us. You see? From his prayer, it gives us a clue. He said, read the green one. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the command, decree, and the law you gave. You see, funny. It sounds so funny, right? He wept for the gate, for the wall, for the people. What is that to do with? We have the wickedness. What is that to do with that? What is he really weeping? So here, you can tell from Jeremiah. Therefore, the Lord Almighty say, because you have not listened to my word, I will summon all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declare the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sound of joy and gladness, the voice of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstone and the like of lamb. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland. From here, what does that tell you? Look, great trouble and disgrace. object of horror and scorn. It's the same thing, right? Imagine yourself and you read the Word of God and you see it come to pass. It happened. It's already happened. That is why Nehemiah weeping for. Because he know God's hands is on them. The wrath of God is on the people of Israel. God is angry with them. God is punishing them. It's not about the gate. It's not about the wall. It's not about the people disgraced, but the God's glory. But the God's name being put in shame. Why? The surrounding country will look at people of Israel. Where is your God? Did he bring you out of Egypt? What happened to you now? Right? Later part of it, and we see that. It is God's name. It is their people, including himself. It's away from God. Because their people did not obey God's commandment. God's favor has left them. It's scary. It is very scary. He's weeping for his people that God's favor has left us. That's why he weeps. Today, you think, what? You think this is horrible? If you are Nehemiah and you see this thing come to pass, the word of God come to pass, and what happened to your people? How many of y'all think this is horrible? It's not horrible at all. Horrible or not? Yes, only one. The rest thing is okay. Yes, no? How many of y'all think it's horrible? Only a few. The rest okay. Not tricky question. Now, let me tell you. The time is horrible. What happened to Nehemiah time? But then, they still have chance to restore it. The day will come. Remember, the word of God speak to us. The returning of Christ. It will come true in our life. If you believe in eternal life, and then we should believe the judgment. It will come. And when that day comes, the word of God come to pass, and you are standing before Jesus when he stands on his throne, and you looking at him. Brother and sister, it's too late. Nehemiah, you think he's worse? Our time is worse than him. Because when we stand before him, and we know that his word has come to pass, it's like, that's now Sister Sally reading. You can't come back anymore. There's no more chance. What we're going to face is the eternal fire. If you believe in eternal life, a lot of people just like that part of the world. It's actually come in the package. The eternal fire. Both come hand in hand. So, brother and sister, the day of the word of God will come to pass again in our life, in your life, in my life. Behold, stand firm that day when you come and you stand before our Lord, what you have to say to him. So, at this time, brother and sister, I would like to encourage all of us, have compassion for your brother and sister sitting next to you. When you know their life is moving away from God, swaying away from God, reach out to them. First of all, take interest in them. If you don't even take interest in them? How would you know what happened to them? How would you know what happened to their life? Let our heart fill with this compassion when our brother and sister is away from God. What is the trouble he goes through? Second, look at the people out there. Do we see them that as we believe in eternal life, there will be eternal hell waiting for them? And now I ask you another question. When you stand before the judgment throne, okay, and you are happy, okay, the Jesus said, yeah, go, you can join me to the feast, come on in. And you're so happy, and you go, yes, I make it, right? I make it finally, thank you, Jesus. And then you stand there. And then there come your family member, there come your friend who do not know the Lord and stand before Jesus. And Jesus said, how about you? And your relative, your family member, your friend saw you there and look at him. How come you don't know me? He didn't share to me. And then you are jolly and happy and it's like, yeah, I make it. And then suddenly Jesus just looking at you. Didn't share with him. What would you think that time? He gave you that stare. What happened? Why didn't you share? Love others. Have compassion for them. Take interest in their life. Okay? Who else in the Bible you see how he project up? Do the same thing as what Nehemiah did. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. The days will come upon you when your enemy will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. You and the children within your wall, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. Who say that? Jesus said that. He wept for the people because they turned away from God. And see how beautiful it is from Nehemiah. Point to Jesus the same compassion of heart for the loss, for our brother and sister who turn away from God. Reach out to them, brother and sister. If you know whoever among us used to be around the church now have gone away from church, go reach out to them. Bring them back to the Lord, before the Lord. Have the heart of compassion. Don't, hey, I'm okay. That guy is a lost cause. He's no longer Christian. Yeah, he go away. Very casually, when I hear people say that, as a pastor, it aches to my heart. Yes, it's not casual at all. Look at Nehemiah. He wept for days and he fasted for days. Is that a casual thing? Like, yeah, he no longer come to church anymore. It is not. You should cry and weep and fast and pray for their brothers, for their sister, for they have away from God. I felt compassion for them. Third, you see, complete dependent. Now, this is a wonderful promise. I write this thing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promises God has given to us. But how we use it, how we use these promises, how we pray. Now, this has a wonderful illustration. Okay? Let's say our church want to build a new building. Okay? So, there is an action plan, right? Number one, we want to build a new building next to our old building. Number two, we want to use the material of the old building for the new building. Number three, we want to continue use our old building while the new building is building. Number four, once the new building complete, then we move to the new building and we submit to the Lord in prayer. You see what's the problem with the plan? What's the problem? Pardon? I cannot hear you louder. Pardon? We're going nowhere. We're going nowhere, right? Doesn't matter how you submit to God in prayer, but you're still going nowhere. Let us learn from Nehemiah how to pray. How to pray. This is so beautiful. As I work through the sermon, as I read it, I was like, oh my goodness. I have made so much mistake of those kind of building kind of prayer. It's going nowhere type of prayer. For example, I give you another example. Lord, please, we want to grow your church. We want more people to come to your church. We want more people to come to your church. And we fast and pray for 40 days and we ask, we want more people to come to your church. Let's see how Nehemiah do it. Okay? First, he said, the God of heaven, the great awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandment. You see that? With those who love Him and keep His commandment, He will keep the covenant with them. First of all, he pinpoint what God promises is. And he know. And he prayed this, he actually know. What I'm trying to say is, he not just proclaim it in his heart, he know. As he strategize his plan, he know what he need to do. Okay? Second, you see here, he confessed his sin and the sin of the people of Israel because he know what is wrong, why they become what they have become today. No, I mean in that time. Okay? He know the problem. He don't hide away from it. He said, okay, we have a problem. Imagine even Nehemiah go and build the city wall, but the people of God do not turn back to God. Do you think he will succeed in building that wall? Yes? No? Maybe? Yes or no? No, you see? So we must discern carefully. What is the problem? The problem is not the wall. The problem is not the city. The problem is the people of God turn away from God. And that is the problem. So it doesn't matter how much money, how much effort, how much labor he put in to build the wall and the people of God doesn't turn back to God, there will not be success at all. Everything will be in vain. So that's why first he said, you are the commandment keeping God. Right? This is our problem. I pinpoint the problem. We have sins against you. We did not obey you. Now, say it. But if you remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nation. But if you return to me and obey my command, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Hello, here. He found the answer. It's not about the wall. It's about how to get the people turned back to God. So when he's in his planning, yes, he wants to build a wall. Most important of all, how to bring the people come back to God. When he executed, that thought come into his mind. He's bearing in mind. The most important thing is turn the people back to God. The most important thing is turn the people back to God as he building the wall. You see that? How he come to this point? And he said, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He decided, this is what I'm going to do. But how he come to this point, to have this understanding? He fast and pray. You see, fast and pray is active. It's not passive. It's not passively, Lord, grow the church, grow the church, grow the church. No. It's a lot of small prayer during the fast and pray. He discerning day and night. That's why how he prayed day and night. You think he's repeating his shopping list day and night? You think he's repeating his laundry list day and night? No, he's meditating with God, communicating with God. Lord, what should I do? For example, he's like, Lord, what should I do? What happened to us? What happened to your glory? What happened to your people? What happened? And then God speak to him. He go through the word of God, and then he found the book of Jeremiah. Maybe this is my speculating. Okay? And God start to speak to him. That's why it takes 4 months, right? He's planning, he's thinking, what is the problem? Right? And God, as God revealed to him, and slowly form up the whole thing. And he see the problem. And at the same time, God also speak to him. So how should I bring these people turn back to you? What should we do, Lord? Give me the planning. That's why in chapter 2, you see, when he meet the king, and the king said, what do you want? He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everything he knows. He already have it in his mind. Why? Throughout the 4 months of fast and pray, it's an active pray, not a passive, just praying over the laundry list, just praying over the shopping list. It is not. Amen? So, learn from Nehemiah. It's so beautiful. The Word of God is so beautiful. It's just showing us the way, right? How to do it. But we must really look into it, pay detailed attention, meditate, pray as we read His Word. Amen? Because it's so beautiful. It's a lot of treasure in here, my friend, my brother and sister. Okay, when I heard this thing, I sat down and weep for some day. I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Why I know it's 4 months? In the month of Kislev to the month of Nisan. So if you look at Jewish calendar, there's a span of 4 months. Okay? So it takes 4 months to fast and pray. And active praying, not the passive praying. Okay? So, is that a wonderful strategy or what? In prayer. Yeah? Active praying. I didn't come up with it. Okay? God come up with it. Selfless dedication. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servant who delight in reveling your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Why I say selfless dedication? When he say that, he decided something. Sorry. He said, give your servant, give me success today. I will go speak to the king. give me success today. And he has all the plan he has in heart. And I'm going to speak to him today. Give me the success. Do you know, when he come approach the king and he say that, it connect to the book of Esther. Just like Esther, he go before the king. If I perish, I perish. Because for him to go speak to king, if the king is not happy, he's gone. Yes? Even he take on this mission, there will be great dangers as well. And the king might not grant all the things he requests. Okay, you can have your break time, you know, you can go to Jerusalem, you can get the timber, but no guard following you in the middle of it. There will be thief, there will be problem. All right? There's many obstacles. So are we, when we decided to step into the ministry, when we start thinking and it's all the problem upon problem upon problem, it's possible. But we ask ourselves, are you willing? Are you willing to trust God to step out there, to dedicate yourself? If I perish, I perish. Are we trying to play safe? Play safe. What is the safest way to do this? Brother and sister, there's no safest way to follow God if you read through the Bible. Because God Himself is the safest way. Amen? Remember this. God Himself is the safest way. Let me read this for you. This is beautiful, beautiful verse. If you're hungry, feel free to take up your dinner. Okay. Isaiah chapter 42. I'll read for you. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 18. This is so beautiful promise. This is speak to us. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Oh, no, sorry, not that one. Yeah, I thought it's this one. Hold on. Huh? Go to the wrong. Okay, sorry. Verse 16 here. Yeah. I will lead the blind by way they have not known. Isaiah 42, verse 16. Along unfamiliar path I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough place smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. You see that? I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar path I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough place smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. He's speaking to us. God is speaking to us. I will lead the blind by the way they have not known. Why? Who is the blind? The one who walks by faith and not by sight. Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? If we're walking by faith and we will let God lead us like a blind, and He will bring us through the way that we do not know. And the unfamiliar path, He will guide us. Okay? He will turn the darkness into light before us, and make the rough place smooth. And He will not forsake us. This is the way to walk with God. He is the safest way. Walk by faith, but not by sight. Not by sight. Look at here. I always wonder why he put it there. I was a cupbearer to the king. Then I realized something. I share with you one very interesting testimony. My mother, in 2015, he accepted Christ. He was a Buddhist for many, many years. Vegetarian. People funeral will invite her to go pray for them. Okay. So 2015, he accepted Christ. And he come to ask me, he said, okay, now I'm Christian. What do I need to do? When I was Buddhist, I morning 5 o'clock, I woke up and I pray and I chant, you know. Before I go to bed, and I pray and I chant. Afternoon before I eat, I also pray. So I said, what do I want to do? And I said, Mom, every Christian, we are created in Jesus Christ to do good work. God have a mission for you, and he prepared in advance for you. He said, I'm 78 years old now. What can I do? You know, I'm too old to do anything. So you tell me, what should I do? I said, Mom, I can't tell you what should you do. Why don't you pray and ask God? So he, very interesting, my mom called me pastor. So he started praying, okay? And God slowly lead her, okay? Right now he start opening up her house, and she has this, she called blessing. So she invited all her friends from the Buddhist temple, and her friend from where she learned Tai Chi, and her friend from where she learned Qi Gong, and come to her house. Not all of them, few at a time. And she will cook for them, and she will invite a few brother and sister come from church and start to share testimony with them, fellowship with them, makan together all the time. She's 82 now, and she still continue cooking for them, feeding them. You know what? Last year, 9 people come to baptize. 9 of them. And she's so excited. I cannot believe it. I'm 82 years old. I still can do it. Praise the Lord. And she has so much joy right now. She will tell me, oh, I'm so busy. I said, Mom, why don't you spend some time and come over? She said, no, I cannot. I'm so busy, you know. On Tuesday, I have cell group. Thursday, I have prayer meeting. And Saturday, I have Bible study. Sunday, I have discipleship class. And I have to go, do visitation and go with, share my friend. Morning, I have to go to the exercise place so that I can share Jesus with others. I was like, wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 82 years old. This brother and sister, how old are you? All of us still can do it. Pray and ask God, what it is you want us to do? Okay? In your area, in Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer. He's closer to the king. That's how God use him. In your area, what is your area? God can use you in your area because this is very special. God put you in that place. Nobody can go, only you. Be the light. Be there for him to do the good work. Now, living a consecrated life, genuine concern, heartfelt compassion, complete dependence, selfless dedication. Okay? I'd like to share with you this from Charles Wesley. It's a beautiful, beautiful song lyric. Thou who came from above the fire celestial to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. Then let it fall, thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up the gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my act of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete. To work and speak and think for thee, still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up the gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my act of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete. Thank you. Dear brother and sister, today I'd like to speak with you. We all God people, saint of God. You are the saint of God. You are the chosen one, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God chosen people for His glory. Let us commit our life that word of His gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You. Lord, we thank You. You have chosen us and You have called us, Father. That, Lord, really, 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 let us, the way we walk, we think, everything is for Thee. Seal us in our heart, the passion for You, and live a life that is worthy for what You have done for us. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.